Blog Talk yes. Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between your thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, radio listeners, and welcome to another wonderful episode of Discussions with Delia. It's day 9 of the government shutdown, and I think there are no winners in this situation. It's really unfortunate that we find ourselves in this, as a nation, in this situation. So hopefully our elected officials, our elected leaders, will be able to work cooperatively to resolve this issue because, you know, there are families suffering right now, and there will only be more suffering as this continues. So thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. Before I get started, let me give you your call-in number. The number that you can call in live is 619-639-4621. And as usual, I'm really happy to welcome my guest co-host, my fabulous husband, Raymond.
Hello.
So, Raymond.
Yes, ma'am.
Today we have a special guest that will be calling in a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And our topic is really one that provokes thought on many levels. But this morning I saw that there was an article on one of the morning programs about, it's called Schools, about the business or the dysfunction of college sports, about what happens to these athletes when they're recruited and go to play college sports, and the billions of dollars that's made by the NCAA. So, and how some of these students, I saw one young man that said that there were days when he was hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's that our conversation today is really timely because it's almost a precursor to what happens when the students go into college. So our topic today is high school sports and the relationship with academics.
Right.
And, you know, what that bodes. So
it's almost as if it could be described as a crossroads sometimes, or where they intersect.
Or a nexus.
Right, where, you know, academics and also, you know, sports. And it, obviously, being in high school or even before high school, middle school, is when this whole, you know, ratcheting up intensity in programs or being more involved for different reasons. You know, so, I mean, I guess we will explore it more, you know, once our guests call in. And, well, it was his proposed topic, which we thought was just perfect.
Right, and it turns out to be really timely because I was watching, it was Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough I was watching this morning, and that's what they were talking about. They had a segment on that. And it was really interesting because, you know, Joe Scarborough, who I guess is from Alabama or Tennessee or was talking about some young man who played for, I guess, the University of Alabama it was, but he was apparently really good in football, and then he had some great catch or great play, and then he broke his foot, like his foot just split.
Right.
And he hasn't recovered.
Right.
And, you know, he was on the verge of becoming the next great thing, I guess, in the NFL.
Right. Right, and get paid.
Right, and now he works as a bank teller.
Right, just because of that accident.
Right, and he's one of the lucky ones.
Right, right, right.
Because there's some of them who they just happen to be, you know, working in the local supermarket or, you know, just kind of, you know, making it by. So, you know, I guess, you know, we'll welcome our guest to the show. It's really wonderful to have Dr. Kent Bryant on the show today. Hello, Dr. Bryant, are you there?
Hi, Delia, how are you doing?
I am, Kent, how are you?
I am fine, I'm fine. Well, first of all, let me congratulate you for watching Morning Joe. It's one of my favorite TV programs to watch in the mornings. It's very good. It's actually a very good program.
It is. I love watching it myself. So, yeah.
Yes.
So, thanks. Congratulations to you as well.
Okay.
So you proposed this really interesting topic, and I thought it was so timely when I saw, I don't know if you saw the segment this morning on Morning Joe.
No, I did not. I did not see it this morning. And the topic, quite frankly, as I was thinking this afternoon, I was when I sent you over the topic, I was being very specific to high school sports. But the truth of the matter, as Raymond said, that this could cut across any institution, whether it's high school, middle school, college,
Right.
So what we're going to discuss, it really doesn't make a difference. But I come at it from a high school perspective because of my business, all right? I live in Maryland, outside of D.C., and we have a tutoring business in the Laurel area, Bowie area, up Marlboro area. And so we are interacting with high school kids on a day-to-day basis. And we've had this business for 3 years now, and it's been in the past 3 years that getting some sort of feedback from parents that really had me begin to think more about this. For example, earlier in the summer, I was working with this rising 11th grader. So she's about to go into the 11th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working with her on SAT prep.
Mm-hmm.
And, fundamentally, what I found out was that she's very weak. She's fundamentally very weak. One of the first things that we do in our program is that we try to baseline the students. And, the SATs, they're out of 2,400. And currently, I have her baselined at around 1,400 out of 2,400. So basically, if she was not taking the test 2 weeks ago or to go into the November 3rd test, her score would be somewhere around 1,400 plus or minus.
Wow.
So not a good score when you consider that in the SATs, there are three sections. Each section is out of 800. And by writing your name, you start with 200 points. So what I'm saying is that out of the possible 600 points that she can get, she might, on any given test, make 260, 280 out of those 600
wow.
points. Right?
Wow.
So that's where she's baselined. And, and we started to work with her. And, so the school year begins, and I'm saying to the father and the mother, I went by the house, sat down with them, gave them the reality that, this is where she is, And, they're telling me, well, they don't have any money, she needs to get a scholarship, right? Well, a kid baseline at 1,400, honestly.
Scholarship to where, though? I guess that's the clarification. Scholarship to where?
Well, the good news about this country, is that there's a college for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who wants to go to college, there is a college that will take you, all right? But scholarship, 1,400, 1,500, there's no scholarship potential there. But, but I'm trying to tell the parent that, listen, we need to get this kid up to maybe a 1,700, which is a Herculean task. It's a you might say that's only 300 points off 40, but it's a Herculean task, and I'm saying, okay, we have We have certain amount of options in terms of the internal SAT for this year. We want her to finish the SATs in the 11th grade because in the 12th grade, you really don't want your child to be dealing with SATs as they're trying to finish school and they're trying to start to apply to colleges. So in my business, I recommend that by spring of your 11th grade, you're done with your SATs. That is what we recommend.
Okay.
And that's what
okay.
we try to work towards. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So to cut it short, so the parent comes back and tells me that this kid needs to get a scholarship. She's at 1400 now, but Dr. Bryant, I'll talk to you in November because this kid plays soccer for a high school,
okay.
right? And the coach okay. has her playing 5 days a week. Right?
Okay.
No, I know this kid. This, and I know this high school soccer program. It is not even locally recognized. Let's not even say state recognized. It is just a soccer high school program. And
right.
they're telling me now that because she needs to play soccer 5 days a week, now this kid will never, ever play soccer for her college. She will never get a soccer scholarship. She'll never get a soccer half scholarship. Right? She is
what
just
is
a
that,
player.
Is that
what's that?
Is that thinking?
That must be what they're thinking because if I'm saying to you that if you're looking for a scholarship and you need 1700, but right now soccer is more important than that, then obviously I guess you're expecting something from soccer.
Right. Yeah. It seems like that's where the energy is being placed is on soccer. So therefore, that the expectation may be that soccer is going to give the return.
Right? This kid isn't even a standout on our very poor team.
Mm.
Yeah, but okay. Let me be a little bit of a devil's advocate here and think.
Please be.
And again, you know, she might not be fantastic and great, but, you know, the opportunity that probably the coach might point out to her and say, look at so-and-so 2 years ago who attended so-and-so. And as examples, who went to college on a scholarship and was not significantly great on the soccer team, but the college that they went to and played soccer for them, that school is not significantly great either.
But they need to have a soccer team.
But they need to have a soccer team. I mean, listen, when I was at Howard...
Yes, Raymond. But Raymond, what you're talking about is not a... Remember, Nana Raymond, that not because you go to a school. Like, I have clients right now who are playing soccer in their college, right? At their college. But remember...
Right.
Many of these programs don't give money to play soccer. If you're not a recognized school, many of these programs don't give money to play soccer.
Oh, okay.
So not because you're playing soccer.
For that particular sport. Okay. But I don't know. I hear what you're saying, and I'm not so much that I disagree, but I can see where parents, and I'm sure we've all come across, you know, such situations where, you know, the sport, the basketball, the football, which is the more common ones, and the soccer and so on, are viewed as the ticket out or the ticket to college.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be the latest thing because, as you said, Kent, there's a college for everyone. So, therefore, there's potentially a college that will take me, a Division III school or whatever, that just happened to have a college program that I could potentially latch onto. So it's a ticket. I mean, yes, I need to get my grades better, but balance that
okay,
up.
Okay, okay. So let me ask you as a parent, it's a ticket to what? To a free education?
Yes.
It's
yeah.
not a ticket
because
to a free education.
Remember, no, that's what they
because
told
Division
you. Three, they
Division
three
teams. Listen, I know right now, of a friend of mine, he has a cousin who is now going to, I guess, Susquehanna State in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And he went there directly because he wants to play football, right?
Mm.
Okay.
But it's a Division III school, so he's paying half of his way at least. You know,
yeah, but,
you know, I don't know exactly what he's saying, but he's paying a significant portion of it, right? Now, I guarantee you, right? There is more monies out there for kids who get good SAT scores than there is for sports athletes. more monies. Because I tell you what, if you get a 1600-1700 on your SAT,
right,
and quite frankly, that is not a grade score, right? There are schools out there that are going to give you $7,000-$8,000 a year,
right,
a year.
Right. But I think we balance that against what you see out there in your own community, in your own schools, where you point to such and such who went to such and such because of such and such. You know, and again, football and basketball are the two shining stars.
Right, the high ticket sports.
Correct. I mean, in our community, our local basketball team in high school is the highlight of the community. The whole community rallies around it, and there are many examples of those who went off to college, and even more so, many of them who went on to the NBA. So when parents
Raymond, let me challenge that. Let me challenge that, because what you're telling me, right, what you're telling me there, is that you know, in your community, and then maybe your community is atypical to the normal community in America, but I mean, let us think about it. There are 300 million people in America, right?
Uh-huh.
And there are, what, 16 people on any NBA team. And there are how many NBA teams? You know, and there are, let's say, 30 NBA teams. So out of 300 million people, there are 480
yeah.
people out of America, all right, who are on NBA teams. So maybe your community in Mount Vernon is different, but I can tell that there's nobody here.
Right.
I have nobody here. All right. So those examples, even if they exist in Mount Vernon, in most communities in America,
mm-hmm.
they won't exist. Right?
You know what?
And
it's,
even
all
if,
right. Go ahead.
Right? And you know, but what I'm talking about is kids who are failing in school in general,
mm-hmm.
just in general. That was just one example. And every time I get a call from a parent around the kid is failing, he needs help, can you see him on Friday at 7 o'clock because that's the only time he has available, because for the rest of the week he's playing sports.
Okay.
Well, I can't see everybody.
Right. At 7 o'clock on a Friday. But I guess this is not more widespread, and if this is not about rather parents having misplaced priorities and having probably expectations that are unrealistic about their, you know, the future for their children. Because if you think that it's sports that's going to pay, and given the economic conditions in the country right now, you can understand a lot of people feel really stressed about trying to send a child to college. So trying to figure out any way that they can to find free money, so to speak, to send a child to school is probably top priority.
Right.
So
then look at the data, people. Look at the data. In my community, how many kids are going to college on a sports scholarship? I don't know of many. Well, I don't know of any, but I'm sure there might be one or two. But I don't know of many, right?
But
I can tell you. But I can tell you that, you know, you keep hearing about this kid who got into the school, and, you know, because of their SAT scores or their school scores, you know, they got a $6,000. You know, they got a $6,000 break or whatever.
But
the reality is the reality. There's a perception, and there's reality. And I'm telling you that there's more money available out there. A school, you know, you apply to a school, you have good grades, you have a good SAT score, right? You show some financial hardship, you know, and they will give you monies because of your grades.
Right.
Not because you sit on your brass team.
We won't challenge that, Ken. I think that to say that more money is available for the student who is stronger academically,
mm-hmm.
and who has, you know, more potential to succeed academically, that there's more money available for that than for the average or below average student athlete. I think that's true. I really think that's true. And I will say that perhaps in our community, we are maybe a little bit of an anomaly because we do have probably more NBA players coming out of this one community than any other community in the country. And we have
possibly
a lot of students. We have a lot of students who make it to you know, who because that's kind of been established. You know, we have that reputation.
Uh-huh.
And so maybe the reputation now is feeding, right?
Right.
Kind of almost like feeding the friends. So, you know, we do have that. But also, we see other examples, because even in the tennis program that we have in town, we've seen students get half scholarships or full scholarships based on playing tennis.
Right.
You know, so we've seen things like that happen. But I do agree that it is more likely that a student will get money for their potential as an academic rather than an athlete.
I agree.
Do you realize that if you look, and possibly even in Mount Vernon, all right, even in Mount Vernon there, and I don't know this is a fact, but if you look at the budget of any school, and then you ask yourself, what is the purpose of a school? What is the purpose of a school, right? What's the purpose of a school? Now, when you look at the per student cost of sports compared to the per student cost of mathematics, right? Mm-hmm. At many of these schools, you're spending twice as much money per student on sports as you're spending on academics.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the purpose of the school?
I would say that's true in Mount Vernon. That's not true in Mount Vernon. That isn't true in Mount Vernon at all. But you know, because what we do have a lot of, probably, you know, we have a foundation that supports sports. The school district budget, I would say that, especially now, that more greater focus is being placed on bringing up the reading scores and ensuring that children can learn to, you know, can read by the second grade. You know, but really focusing on the essentials of education.
Well, okay,
right?
Fine. So in Mount Vernon, the sports is not happening through the schools; it's happening through the local clubs. Is that what's happening?
No, it does happen through the schools. But we have, for example, so this passion for like football or basketball is started early, and they have community leagues that have existed for a long time.
Okay, exactly. And that's my point. That's my point. I believe that sports should be happening at community leagues. That's exactly my point. Please don't get me wrong. You know, I'm a believer in sports, but I don't believe that the schools should be the ones who are bearing the expense. Because if you think about a football field, and a football team, and the expenses that go along with a football team, the travel, the travel insurance, the bus driver, it's a huge expense. And I'm saying that kids should be involved in sports, but I think that it should be at a community level. Because what's happening in many of these high schools, tomorrow morning when I get up, I leave my house at 6:30 in the morning. And as I, you know, as I round my corner, there's this group of kids waiting to take the bus. The bus comes at 6:35. And it's getting cold. Why are the high school kids out at 6:35 in the morning when every study tells you that, you know, it's detrimental, it doesn't help the kids when they go to school. They're tired. Right, they can't learn. Right, schools.
Mm-hmm.
But why are they up at 6:30 in the morning? So that many of these schools can get out by 2:30, so that they have enough daylight to do sports.
So what's the takeaway?
So,
what's the takeaway? What do we want? What do we want to leave our listeners with? On this topic. What do we want them to?
I'm a big believer. I'm a big believer in sports, but. But your priority should always be academics, because at the end of the day, most of us are going to make our money in a regular job.
Right. The point one percent
that one in a thousand from most communities, good for them, right? And if they're good, they're going to find a way to the NBA no matter what.
Right.
Whether it's through community sports, you know. But high schools are placing too much priority on sports.
Okay, Ken, but what's the role of parents? And we've had this, you know, through many of our other discussions, we've talked about it.
Of course. It always gets back to the parent.
And where the priority lies.
It always gets back to the parent.
Right. Because schools can always say, yeah, we want to have, you know, we want to be state champions. We want to do, you know, we want to be on top. But what's the role of parents in ensuring that, you know, the child is maintaining a balance and that, you know, the outcomes are going to be realistic.
I think it's a very tough place to put parents in sometimes. You know, where coaches have their own agenda, the schools have their own agenda for their own reasons and ranking and publicity and support from the community. And here's a child who is halfway gifted and, you know, a decent student at best and could use help on both ends to be a better athlete and to be a better student. You know, so sometimes it's a tough balance, and the parents themselves, not quite sure how to handle that situation, don't necessarily do a great job of helping the students navigate the process.
So then what's our takeaway for parents? What are we believing is, you know, the question that they should consider when faced with this, you know, this dilemma?
I
think, you know, because the student might want to continue the sports.
I may leave that up to you, Ken, in terms of what do you think, you know, is that punctuation mark?
You're quite right. It is a very tough place for parents, and, you know, and the right decision is not always clear, all right?
Right.
What I continue to find is that there's a huge business opportunity out there for somebody to help to guide parents through many of these questions because they themselves don't know the answers. So I think the answer really lies in what does the parent themselves place priority on? Because what these kids see, is that they cannot find an hour in the week. I'm talking, sixth graders can't find an hour in the week to see a tutor, but they will leave Maryland every Saturday morning and spend the entire day in Lancaster playing league soccer.
Yes.
Right.
So what do you see as priority? So what's the priority that's being told? What's the story being told there?
Let's put one other question in there, and it's the idea of competence. Of having competence in one area of your life is essential to esteem. So if it's a student who's 1,400 on the SAT, and she know, boy, it's going to be an arduous task for me to get up to 1,800, which I need to get into. So she might say, well, you know, people might not think I'm a star, but I feel pretty good playing soccer. You know? So it's about, you know, developing that competence in that one area and being able to maintain some sense of esteem. But I think, like you said, like the takeaway is probably that the conversation should be ongoing and parents should be carefully considering, you know, exactly what you said, which is that, you know, at the end of the day, most of us are going to make a living in a regular 9-to-5.
Right.
You know? So, you know.
And maybe to your point.
Exactly. And we have to build competence there.
Yeah, we'll
right.
Get, right. So
right.
Supporting competence there.
Right.
But,
right.
Yeah, I want to thank you so much for joining us. This was really, you know, enlightening. And, you know, we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for inviting
All
me.
Right.
Be good now.
All right. Pleasure. Anytime.
Bye-bye.
Take care now.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I think it's a relevant topic. I think it's something that it's difficult.
Yeah, it is difficult.
It's difficult for kids. It's difficult for parents.
Parenting
it's
is not
the,
easy.
All the way around.
So until next week, when we will.
What do we do next week?
I don't know.
I guess we'll let them know in a bit.
You know, that's why it's a discussion. It's always unfolding. So until next time, take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com. And like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter @DiscussionDelia. Thank you again for listening. peace and blessings.
All right, honey. We don't